Okay, business leaders, are you playing defense or are you on the offense? Are you just, excuse me, hey, I'm trying to talk business here. As I was saying, are you here just to play or are you playing to win? If you're in it to win, meet your next MVP, NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is your full business management system in one suite. With NetSuite, you're running your accounting, your financials, HR, e-commerce, and more, all from your online dashboard. One source of truth means every department's working from the same numbers with no data delays. And with AI embedded throughout, you're automating manual tasks, plus getting fast insights for your next move. Whether you're competing on your home turf or looking to conquer international markets, NetSuite helps you get the W. Over 40,000 businesses have already made the move to NetSuite, the number one cloud ERP.
Right now, get the CFO's Guide to AI and Machine Learning at netsuite.com/special. Get this free guide at netsuite.com/special.
Okay, guys.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Chiefs looking for a three-peat. Eagles going to try to stop them once again. And welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. We're talking a lot about the Super Bowl. And one thing's undeniable about the Chiefs. You want to talk about Mahomes and Andy Reid and just how good this combination has been. But they don't win blowouts.
No.
Especially not lately. Especially not in these Super Bowls. In fact, the Super Bowls they've won have been come from behind. You know, whether they're trailing in the fourth quarter against San Francisco the first time around, whether they're trailing to your Eagles by 10 points at halftime 2 years ago, trailing in overtime because San Francisco got the ball first last year, Perloff. These have not been boat races. These have not been these crazy win by a dozen points. So does this make you feel better about them or worse? Is it a sign of strength or a sign of weakness that they keep winning these very close games?
I think this is a sign of weakness. I think this can't keep happening. And at some point, you have to lose these close games. Because we saw the New England Patriots winning a bunch of close Super Bowls. Eventually, they lost. You can't. It's an oblong, weirdly shaped football. Eventually, it's not going to bounce your way. So this gives me hope as an Eagles fan. If it's going to be a close game, eventually, one call is going to go against them. One spot is going to go against them. Somebody's going to fumble. Something has to happen. You can't keep tempting fate like this with these close games.
Okay, but Perloff, they're 17-0.
Right.
17 consecutive one-score games that they've won. So by your theory, don't you think they would have lost one of these by now? I mean, you know, we talk a lot about coin flips and roulette wheels, and whenever we talk with Nick Costas from You Better You Bet, you know, talk about something that just happened is not really a determining factor on the next thing that's going to happen. I think you're talking about games to infinity. So every game that you play, I don't think, just because you had a one score win last time doesn't mean you're any better or worse the next time. I actually think that it's a sign of strength that in a league that is this much parity in a league that has a salary cap, in a league that makes it harder for the defending champ because your strength of schedule is always harder the more successful you are. The fact that they keep winning these one-score games, and by the way, another thing that I think is very different from the NFL of like the early 2000s, much like all sports, the use of analytics, I think, has made things a lot more even, right? Like, everyone's got all the data. It's really hard to find these big advantages, I think.
Then why are the same teams win four games every year?
Well, I think because quarterback is just far and away the most important thing. So the moment you have one, unfortunately, the analytics have not helped us determine who's going to be a bust of a draft pick and who's not. I'm sure it's trying. But I just think there's so much more information. There's so many more guys who come from one tree, who get spread out over the league. They're familiar with each other's systems. The fact that you win these one-score games to me means you are going above and beyond. You are even scarier. You are even better than a team that was winning blowouts back in the day.
Yeah, I understand your argument. It's a good one, but it gives me hope that it's going to be a close game. I just think that eventually something's going to happen. There's going to be a helmet catch. There's going to be, you mentioned Mario Manningham with a crazy circus catch on the sideline. Eventually, they can't control these games to that point. Something weird is going to happen. I mean, it happened against the Bengals a few years ago when they were up 21-3 in the first half and lost a close game. For some reason, Mahomes forgot how to play quarterback in the second half. Lou Anarumo figured him out. Something could happen where a close game could not go their way. They also lost to Tom Brady in the Super Bowl. That game wasn't even close. That was a blowout because their O-line was hurt. Yeah, I feel better knowing that this is going to be a close game because if it was going head-to-head, the Chiefs have a big advantage. But if they're going to mess around and keep the Eagles in the game, that makes me actually feel more confident because, the Eagles are underdogs here. So we're guaranteed a close game at least because of the way the Chiefs play.
Yeah.
So I'm comfortable with the fact that I'd take a game that goes in the fourth quarter here. If you gave me a choice, because I think on paper, the Chiefs could run, the old Chiefs would have run away against this team possibly.
Yeah, I don't think so. 855-212-4227. The Chiefs winning 17 consecutive one-score games. Is that a sign of strength or a sign of weakness? You know, I think there is something. What do we talk about a lot when we get to this point of the season in terms of the Super Bowl? We always talk about experience.
Yeah.
Right? I think Tom Brady and Bill Belichick definitely had a leg up over a lot of opponents just by understanding the rhythm of the game, how long the game is, how to keep your body fresh, all of that. Now, the Eagles have some experience in this game too, but experience matters. So why wouldn't the experience, the muscle memory of being in tight games, in close games, be a positive thing for the Chiefs and a sign and a predictor that they keep winning these close games, meaning that they can keep winning them forever? Because I think we see this sometimes in sports where teams that are dominant and have these, like, you know, big leads and big runs, and then they finally get into a dogfight of a game, and all of a sudden they're looking around at each other. Like, uh-oh, who's going to take over? We haven't been tested in this way. The Chiefs have been beyond tested in these one-score games. It makes you stronger.
Yeah, I guess you could say that. But also, you could look at this like, well, why do they keep on getting these one-score games? Like, no offense to your Bills, they should have run away with that game. That was like, they opened the wide open door because they're playing so conservatively. Don't you think, did you expect them to kind of blow out the Bills early in that game? They looked so much stronger in the first half, but they let their opponent hang around. So maybe it's a weakness. I mean, they really, again, I'm an Eagles fan. It sounds like I'm mushing the team. Like, they should feel confident. Hey, we can beat this team. We have Mahomes and we have Kelce. Like, we should be the favorite. We could get a lead and put the their foot on the gas and run away with this game. But you know that the Chiefs are going to bring everybody back. They let the Texans, who are a mess, back into that game. They are screwing around with leads. And I don't know exactly how it's happening, but you could also look at this as a weakness. They keep on getting involved in these one-score games against inferior teams.
855-212-4227, asking you if these 17 consecutive one-score wins by the Chiefs is a sign of strength or a sign of weakness. We also have a poll question up here for you. Got a couple. Are you excited for the Chiefs and Eagles Super Bowl rematch.
I can predict the outcome of that. That ain't going to be good.
It's not pretty.
No, people do not want to see these two teams.
72% say no. Early, still early. Guys, get on board. At least it's going to be, I think we're guaranteed a good, close, interesting game.
Yeah, yeah. It's like not bad. The three-peat thing is interesting. You can hate on Taylor. There's things to do with the Super Bowl, but it would be cool for, I think, people to see new blood.
Let's go to the phones, 855-212-4227. William is in Indianapolis. Good morning, William.
Hi. Just commenting on Perloff's take on the sign of weakness. I think it's a sign of strength because all the points that Perloff made happened in the Bills game. He talked about the ball not going to bounce their way. The Bills recovered all of their fumbles. They're going to lose the fumble somewhere along. Mahomes lost that fumble on that play to that keep and read. And then a call's not going to go their way. Deion Dawkins had a false start on that Matt Collins touchdown right before half that didn't go their way. So those things are already happening, and the Chiefs are still overcoming them and winning games.
But, William, don't you think that they should have handled that game a little cleaner? Like, it shouldn't have really come down in the fourth quarter. Both the Texans game and the Bills game, I thought they were kind of playing with their food.
I mean, I think, obviously, you can always play a better game. But I think great teams find ways to win games and overcome all those things that happen during the games. I think people are just overlooking that those things are still happening and the Chiefs are still winning.
William, I think it's a great point. I mean, it backs up my point. So thank you for making it and even adding some context of the most recent game we saw. I mean, let's not get crazy here. The Chiefs weren't going to blow the Bills out.
They should have blown that Bills team out. The Bills, what was the Bills offense?
Josh Allen looked a little shaky coming out of start the game, but they settled in.
They just didn't really have any passing offense. Like, the Chiefs had that lead. And you have to admit, when the Bills went up 22-21, I think we're all like, wait, how did that just happen?
Well, they stole the momentum back. That's how. Jeff is in Tucson. Jeff, what do you think? These close wins by the Chiefs, does it make them, does it a sign of strength or a sign of weakness?
Well, you know, Perloff is so much a getter. He's trying to convince us that the Eagles are going to break through Kansas City is going to have the ball bounced his way. Well, guess what, Perloff? Kansas City has gained more strength by these 17 straight, time and time again, and the ball ain't always bouncing their way.
It kind of most often bounces their way when it matters.
But when it matters, they lost the momentum in the game, but when it mattered, did Mahomes roll out a couple times to get some first downs?
Oh, yeah, of course.
The game? And isn't that what he's going to do against your Eagles?
Definitely.
He's going to roll out, he's going to throw a little pass, and he's going to get into the end zone a couple times. And the Eagles, boy, if they turn the ball over, hey, could you imagine if your running back turns the ball over just one time out of his hands, what that's going to do to your Eagle team?
Wait,
Saquon?
Jeff, I'd rather not, to be honest.
Jeff, a little nightmare fuel for Perloff on this Thursday.
Hey, Maggie, I'm not going to let him just run over us with his Eagles because he's such a bandwagon Eagle fan. I'm not doing it.
Jeff, at least someone has a little integrity around here. Thank you for making the show better and bringing a little decorum to this place. You are bandwagon central. Now, with the Eagles, that's really your number one team.
I mean, come on.
But you love to mush this team. You love to play mind tricks, mind games.
Well, honestly, I don't think this is a perfect Eagles team, not by a long stretch. I think the other Super Bowl team was better. I just think that the Chiefs are going to let them hang around for sure, and that gives the Eagles a shot. I know 17-0, and listen, I am ignoring the logic to a large extent, but I feel for some reason like there's something weird about this Eagles team where they could come away with a close win. I don't know exactly how. They feel like they have a little bit of this close game fate. You know, the Rams came back on them and almost stole that game. But I don't know. I feel like the Eagles have the formula. They have the running quarterback. They have the running back where they can also win a close game. They have the defense. Now, the Chiefs, remember the Chiefs-Bengals game? Fourth and 16 or something crazy like that. And they got the pass interference. Yeah, early in the season. And they got that pass interference. Like, they didn't get that play. They lose that game. Eventually, they're not going to have that call. Eventually, there's got to be, it can't go on forever. It's not the Harlem Globetrotters and the Washington Generals. 17-0 at some point has to end.
Had you even contemplated a Saquon Barkley fumble until Jeff brought it up?
I'd like to see Saquon's fumble numbers. No, I hadn't really thought about it, but the earlier caller did remind me that Mahomes had a big trouble on that RPO handling snap. Mahomes couldn't figure out the RPOs at all either. Maybe they have the fumbles. But Saquon, how many times has Saquon fumbled this year? Does anyone have the stat?
We can
Saquon Barkley.
What happened again? Remind me at the end of the Falcon game how the Eagles lost that game.
He dropped the pass. That would have been a first down.
Yep. That's what it was. And all the Giants fans rejoiced, like, ha-ha, he's actually not that good. And then he went on to have one of the best seasons of anyone
Saquon,
ever.
Saquon, by the way, had two fumbles.
Nope, the season ended long ago.
Did they lose?
It was week two, and then they called it quits on the season.
Yep, that's exactly what happened.
Do you happen to know, did they lose the fumbles?
Does not say on NFL Football Reference if they lost them, but those he had two fumbles this season. I don't think of him as a fumbler, typically.
No.
The most he's had in the season.
That's me knocking on wood.
Sorry.
I know. I'm not on metal.
The most he's ever had in the season is two. So he's not a fumbler.
That was good strategy by Jeff to bring up Saquon fumbling. Now it's out in the universe. Good job.
Two fumbles for Saquon, please. Two of them.
Man, one you of them still want to see him do poorly?
Yes.
Just because you're a bitter Giants fan?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. And I'm a Penn State guy, too. Remember that part.
I know. You realize that's about you, right?
Like, yeah, I know.
I feel like the Chiefs have a strategy for Saquon.
What do you think it is?
I think they
stop him.
Do not let the Eagles offense on the
dynamite
field.
Dynamite idea.
I think they chip down the field and they try for 8-minute drives to keep Saquon out of this game.
How could you tell that that's not just the regular strategy that they apply to every game?
Absolutely could, but I think they really go, like, they at least they took one shot against the Bills. I don't think they take any shots. I think you're going to see the most conservative Chiefs fan because they don't think Saquon's going to fumble, and B, they don't want him to get a rhythm going. Like, we all know that's the best way to stop an offense, and Saquon, just do not let him get possessions.
855-212-4227. So we got two questions for you out in the universe. One, are you excited to watch this Super Bowl rematch? Two, the Chiefs winning these close games, is it a sign of strength or a sign of weakness? I'll tell you, a sign of the times. From yesterday, a conversation that went slightly off the rails and how it's now impacting our lives twofold. We get to that in just a moment. It's Maggie and Perloff.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Ethos Life, the easy way to get life insurance in 10 minutes, up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam, just a few health questions. Get your free quote at checkethos.com. Not available in all states. All right, Maggie. You said you wanted to bring something up, which is usually fun. What do you got?
Yeah, a sign of the times, really. And we've been talking a lot about the Chiefs and the Eagles and the Super Bowl and whether the Chiefs winning close games is a sign of strength or weakness and whether or not you're looking forward to the rematch. Can I just bring up something from yesterday's show quickly? So Wednesdays, we do something called the Great Debate. And yesterday's was awesome. We did greatest athletes to never win a title.
Yeah.
And our pal Jay in Nashville went a little outside the box and brought up Anna Kournikova. Maybe loose interpretation of greatest.
Yeah.
And then we looked her up, and she actually won some doubles titles, so she doesn't really apply, but it got us onto an Anna Kournikova conversation.
I just found out that she's married with Enrique Iglesias.
You just found that out?
I just found that out. Man. Continue with your story.
And that's a long time, too.
Wait, they're still married?
Yes.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Okay, well, now the Anna Kournikova conversation is going to continue. I kid you not, sign of the times, we all know that our devices are listening to us, and we've signed off on this and give them permission by not reading the fine print and just checking on boxes saying I agree to all terms. I got fed no fewer than 3 Anna Kournikova stories between when the show ended and when I checked my phone like around 7 or 8 o'clock at night last night. Like, my timeline was just, did you know she left? She was seen in a wheelchair and a walking boot. Apparently she had some kind of foot surgery or something.
I mean, I knew it because I got served it as well.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Not me, because I looked her up on the company computer in front of me yesterday.
I don't think it matters. I think it's our phones that are listening.
Well, yeah, but it's so funny you think that. I heard this professor say, like, you don't understand, like, how much information you're actually inputting. Like, there might have been a tweet to the show about that call. Then all of a sudden, Anna Kournikova is in the show. Like, there's a lot of digital footprints that could lead you to Anna Kournikova besides your voice.
You think so?
Definitely.
Okay, but I didn't tweet about it until after I had already been served multiple stories about her. Also, kind of crazy that we haven't talked about her forever, and now she's on page 6. They're calling her a Russian model. They don't even mention the tennis.
Well, that could easily be where Jay in Nashville was thinking of her. Maybe he saw the headline.
No, because it was from yesterday after the show. It was from January 29th at 3:08 p.m. That's yesterday afternoon.
Yeah.
But it's you just were also crazy.
You were monitoring the chat, which had her name in it, on your computer, right? Yeah.
That's true.
So that could have been the impetus for you getting fed stuff.
Okay, and but my computer and phone aren't attached to each other.
But they aren't they like by different
but
websites?
You're signed into YouTube.
Maybe, yeah.
You're
maybe.
Signed into YouTube.
But like and also one's an iPhone, one's a Dell. You know, like they're different. They're not compatible companies. I don't know.
And when I typed into the chat, Anna Kournikova, wowza, 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 in all caps, that might have led to something.
When you just image search, it's like, no, I don't want any words.
The thing is, everybody on your server was image searching Anna Kournikova the second that call came up. So there was 50 searches.
Well, I mean, something happened in the universe, and we don't want her to be hurt, but she was definitely in a wheelchair, in a walking boot, getting wheeled to a car.
You know, it's funny. I worked at the U.S. Open for 5 years and interviewed almost everyone that we requested. Never her, though.
By the way, she's in this wheelchair. She still looks great.
Of course she does.
Yeah.
Anna Kournikova.
She's a Russian model.
She's going to look great until her last breath.
And in my beef with the headline, too, like, if you say someone's in a wheelchair, it kind of anticipates that they're very gravely ill.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, no, when you guys told me she's in a wheelchair, I thought things had gone awry.
She definitely looks like she may have, like, maybe had a sprained ankle, maybe even broke her foot, but, like, it doesn't look like she looks fine.
Yeah, former athlete has foot problem is not dire. You're right about that. She was gone. They saw her through Miami's Bal Harbour shops, and she's got all these big Chanel bags with her. Like, she's doing good.
Got the sunglasses on. Like, yeah. Looks like her daughter's there. She's chilling.
They've got balloons. She's Miami royalty, by the way, because everyone except for Manny knew that she's married to Enrique Iglesias.
I didn't even get put in a wheelchair, and I was in way worse shape when I got her leave the hospital than she is right
now. Yeah, you're not cute enough.
That's true.
Just like EJ, figure it out.
Guys. No, they didn't give an F.
They pushed you down the stairs.
They didn't give an F. When it was time for me to leave that surgery, they were like, oh, you're awake? All right. Well, we're calling your fiance. Time to go. Just get your stuff. I'm like, I don't know where I am. I'm still drugged.
It is shocking in some ways how quickly they let you leave the hospital after really big medical things. Like, as soon, you know, having kids, obviously, you realize you give birth and you are out on the street. It's like they basically hand you a goodie bag and you're gone. It's like, here's a couple diapers. Like, I've never done this before. Figure it out.
Basically, it's bad. It's crazy. I'm still thinking about it. Like, I've never had surgery before, so I've never been like, I don't do drugs or anything like that. So I've never been like out of my mind like that.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't know what's happening to me. I know I'm still injured, but the lights are bright. I feel slower than normal. It was so bad. Andrea's like, come on, we gotta go. I'm like, where am I?
They give you that stuff and you are high as the sky.
Yeah, did you love it?
No, I hated it.
Oh, it's the best feeling.
Makes some people nauseous, I think.
Yes, that's what happened to me.
Yeah.
I was shocked I didn't puke everywhere. I was so close.
So I was thinking about this, actually. The first time I ever was given, like, medical-grade drugs was laughing gas at the dentist, and I was, like, 12. They had to pop out some teeth of mine. I was hallucinating like I was dancing with a teddy bear. It was weird, man.
Hey, laughing gas? What's
nitrous
that?
Oxide.
Yeah.
Hippie crack, EJ.
Yeah, you ever go to a party with a nitrous tank? You're in for a great, great time.
Usually hosted by a dentist.
I shouldn't admit. We used to get nitrous tanks down the Jersey Shore one summer, like for every Friday and Saturday night. It was the best time ever.
I mean, Bogish knows about this. You're in a couple of Dave Matthews Band parking lots. You don't think there's nitrous balloons going around?
I'm sure that I have not seen a tank. There have been balloons. I've seen balloons, yeah.
But I would just take the balloons you can make your voice sound like a mouse. That's even better.
That's just helium.
Yeah. I would do a helium party, too. You can get a little high by sucking a bunch of helium balloons and pretend entertaining your kids. I've tried.
You can also get high from charity work. So do charity work.
Like a dopamine hit.
Yeah,
not, by the way, not an endorsement. And I was thinking, this is like being 12 years old and being given nitrous oxide. Like, that is not okay.
Well, I had laughing gas in my whole, and first of all, not for popping teeth out. Like, they knocked me out to do that when they took my wisdom teeth out. But laughing gas was a big thing when we were kids.
I know. How is that totally safe? Okay. I don't know. You're basically getting
what's not safe about it?
A 12-year-old to hallucinate.
See, I never got to the point of dancing teddy bears. Oh, I just felt a little.
Yeah, you might have had a heavy-handed dentist. Like, well, you're not supposed to be tripping.
How about this?
One for Maggie, one for me, got a dentist.
You know what? I'm starting to think, not just one for Maggie, one for me. The dentist at the time also let my stepdad sit in there while he knocked the teeth out because they were friends. And I'm like, was everyone passing this thing around?
Did you go to Panama with Aaron Rodgers and do ayahuasca with this thing? What are you talking about?
No, Binghamton, New York dentist, man.
Like Little Shop of Horrors, Steve Martin.
I've just found out that I need my wisdom teeth removed, so I can't wait to get just obliterated off of laughing gas. Keep coming, Doc.
They're good. At this age, they'll knock you out. You could not handle that. You got to go unconscious for that, right?
Try me.
Dude, sometimes, are you guys, if there's like a knee surgery or something, would you want to be awake and see it? Because that's like a trend now.
Absolutely, to the hell no.
I want to be out.
I could not imagine that. I definitely did not look up any like videos of what they did to my knee.
No, don't do
but
that.
Just like, yeah. I already had a good idea when I looked up at least like the, not the images or videos, but like just like what the procedure entails. No chance.
No, I think it's best to be knocked out as they're wheeling you into the room. I don't even want to get in the room.
Yeah. I wouldn't be knocked out when my wife was delivering the baby. I'm like, just knock me out. There's nothing. I'm not helping you here.
push.
No words of encouragement.
Oh, no. Knock me out. I'll wake up and the baby will be here. I'm a big, like, no, I'm not a local anesthesia guy at all.
Me neither.
Anesthesia is a bit dangerous, but still, I prefer to just be out. But whippets are definitely fun times.
And they're not good for your brain.
Back to the whippets.
Not good for your
brain. With your Odyssey Sports Minute.
Send that one out to the affiliates. What kind of endorsement deals could we get out of that? It's like the official dentist of the Maggie and Furlong show.
Cheech and Chong.
What'd you say? The heavy-handed? You're right.
Yeah, you're definitely not supposed to trip on laughing gas.
I've heard other people who do have slight hallucinations. Yeah. It can be serious. And also, some people are, my dad can't do laughing gas. Like, he has a reaction to it.
I've heard people have, like, negative reactions. They're, not like panic. They have, like, almost like nightmares, like, while they're under. And they, like, scream and stuff.
Again, things that we should not be given to 12-year-olds.
But I think a Novocaine shot, that as a child, that's my ultimate nightmare. I remember, like, they stick that, and it hurts so much. Oh, the worst. Hated cavities. Hated. I didn't even like going to the dentist. I was like, they're going to give me a Novocaine shot.
Did I tell you recently I went and I actually had a cavity, which was devastating to me because I'm on this great run. They were like, I think we can get it without the Novocaine.
No.
And she's like, no. I think you're going to be okay. I was like, I have a very low pain tolerance for teeth pain.
So did you have it?
I didn't. And I survived. I was panicking the whole time, though.
When you hear the drill and smoke is coming out of your mouth. Yeah. Ugh.
The worst. Anywho, what'd you say? Whippets 855-212-4227. Again, not an endorsement. Bogus has headlines for.
Guys, is there a hotter team in the NBA right now than the 76ers?
Maxie driving, top of the key area, 5 to shoot. He's still got it between the rings, between the legs, driving to the line, down the lane, up and good. Maxie, too good. Put him on the All-Star team.
Tom McGinnis campaigning on Sixers Radio. Maxie scored 30 for his 12th straight game with at least 25 points. His Sixers fought off the Kings 117-104. For a four-game win streak. The T-Wolves have also won four in a row after a 121-113 final in Phoenix, 33 points from Anthony Edwards, and the Raptors have now reeled off five straight.
Therefore, they are hotter than the Sixers.
I don't know. They're still the Raptors, and they beat the Wizards last night, 106-82. Washington has now lost 15 straight. The Toronto win streak, by the way, their longest since April of 2021.
Don't let the fighting dinos get hot. Go RJ.
Far from all of that is Commissioner Adam Silver wondering about a fundamental change to the game while hanging out with Dan Patrick yesterday.
I am a fan of 4 10-minute quarters. I'm not sure that many others are. I mean, putting aside what it means for records and things like that, you know, I think that a 2-hour format for a game is more consistent with sort of modern television habits.
As the commissioner pointed out in that interview, the rest of the world and college play 40-minute games. NBA games currently average 2 hours and 16 minutes. The league has played 48-minute games for its entire existence.
I say do it, and do it now. follow baseball's lead. Shorten these. You can't shorten the season. Shorten the games. It'd pick the intensity up so much.
This is a terrible idea. And Adam Silver is no longer fit to be NBA commissioner. What is this?
People don't like him already. Now, to be fair, I listened to this interview, and DP put the whole six-minute clip out on their social media. The question that Dan asked was a brilliant one because he's so good at this. What are some of the off-the-wall or more, I forgot exactly how he phrased it. Like, what are some of the crazier things that have come across your desk that you've even talked about or considered? So he wasn't saying, this is what I want to do. He was answering, in essence, a hypothetical. So let's be fair to Adam Silver about this. He didn't say it's imminent. Dan asked, what's some of the crazier things? And he also did say, we've already made a lot of changes to the NBA. To be fair, we've added play-in tournament. We added mid-season tournament. We've done a lot of things. So it didn't seem like they were in a rush to make any changes.
No, and even in this clip, he said, I like this. I don't know if anybody else does, but I'm okay with it. This is like double hypothetical.
Well, that's when Dan followed up and goes, well, if you like it, aren't you kind of the one guy who you're really the only person who needs to like it? Now, a couple things.
Yeah, but what's the downside of this? I can't believe anybody's against this.
I guess advertisers, like you don't get as many commercial breaks.
No, I mean for fans. Like, why is it?
So I'm going to pay $500 for a Knick game. I'm going to get 8 minutes less of basketball. That makes a lot of sense.
Please.
I'm going to keep playing the cable packages. They're going to give me the same exact amount of money. Now, you're probably going to increase the prices, and I'm going to get less basketball. NBA League Pass probably going to spike up my subscription next year. I'm going to get less basketball. Make this make sense.
Well, what if we could guarantee you, I don't know how you can guarantee, but what if we can guarantee you that, yes, it's going to be less basketball, but you're going to have fewer blowouts, you're going to have better games because guys' legs are going to be fresher, it's not going to be such a burden to play back-to-backs anymore, and that by taking off those 8 minutes is actually going to make Zion play more games.
It's not about the amount of minutes in a game. It's the, except for the Knicks, apparently. It's only the amount of games in the season. Like, we keep telling you, shorten the season. That's all we want. Why would...
But that's less basketball.
Said you don't want less basketball. Then you're saying shorten the season. How can the two things coexist?
No, because that's an entire... You're not messing with the integrity of an actual game. You're talking about the totality of a season. I'm saying that I'm going to go to a basketball game that's a certain price.
Yeah.
That doesn't change if it's 64 games or 82.
EJ, it's going to be more expensive if you have fewer games, by the way, because you're going to have to make the owners whole. If you go from 82 games to 76 or whatever they want to do, everything's going to be more expensive.
That's why they're never going to do it, but this is silly. And also, he's talking about the two-hour thing. You know what will help? Start the games on time. How many times do we have a game start at 7 o'clock
point.
Or 7:30 or 8 o'clock, and it's 15 minutes after the game? I turn on ESPN for a game that starts at 7:30. I got to watch Stephen A. Smith and Kendrick Perkins yelling at each other about some nonsense for 10 minutes before we even get to the game starting. But there's so many ways to get to that two-hour moment that doesn't involve cutting 2 minutes out of a quarter.
Well, they're not counting that time in game time.
No, he's saying the TV product being 2 hours.
Right, but the game itself is still... on average, 216. That's not including Kendrick Perkins yelling pregame. So whether you start at 7:30 or 7:38, it's still going to go 2 hours and 16 minutes, which
is
more than 2 hours.
Right, but he's tuning in at 7 because the game time says 7, but they don't actually get things going until after the second commercial break.
And he's talking about just making the TV product shorter. That makes the TV product shorter. No fan has ever asked about, this game is too long. I want it to end soon.
You're so wrong, dude. Longs? Flip onto an ESPN game, and it's like, it's that the scrubs at the beginning of the second quarter, and it's unwatchable. Like, the backups, like, games are way too long. They spin out of control. They're so boring.
I'll also say this, sitting through men's college basketball games, they ain't 2 hours either. At 40 minutes. So I don't even know what you guarantee yourself by cutting down to 40 minutes, because men's basketball games are not fast. And I've never left a game going, that game felt short. So I don't know that I would miss the 8 minutes, but I also don't know that taking off the 8 minutes would actually affect the length of the game.
I think everyone has taken a cue. Let's put this up as a poll. Do you want a 40-minute NBA game? The other thing is, he said it would mess with the records. I don't think of basketball as a real record sport.
No, but like averages, though. Like,
okay.
A guy averaging 35 points in that changes everything.
But like, as far as the historical comps, like, when I just feel like when LeBron James was passing Kareem for the all-time points, like, the NBA made that a big deal. LeBron made it a big deal. I don't think fans were all that didn't care as much as the NBA did. I'm talking about the historic, like,
I totally disagree with
comparing
that.
Okay. each other to times past, because every era is so different.
I felt like that week when the line was going to pass, that thing was the biggest thing we were talking about. That wasn't football. I don't know. I don't know if I agree with that, but I do think it's a sport that we grade on averages. Like, that's the whole, we don't even count totals. Like, even to your point, like, we compare how good a guy is based on how many points he's averaging, rebounds, assists. Like, that's how we judge how a good player is. So now I'm going to have to say, okay, what's LeBron's per 48? Because now we got to compare it to when Jordan was playing longer games.
I know, but I think that you're having a nuanced basketball conversation. I think most people, and this is, I think, a problem of the sport that we've talked about before, it's actually just down to rings. I don't even know if people are looking rings, MVPs. I don't even know, EJ, if people are looking that deep into the stats. Maybe we are, but sitting around at a, you know, on a bar stool, I don't know if people are doing that.
But also,
people aren't like, well, you know, gosh, Charles Barkley was averaging 30.2 points in his MVP season as opposed to Karl Malone, who was averaging 31.2, you know?
There's less baseball now, right? And that's better, isn't it? They got that overtime rule.
No, it's not less. Well, I guess technically it's the extra innings.
Yeah, the extra innings. But generally, too, it's just like they kind of cut down the baseball games and improve the product.
Bogus, would you like there to be 7-inning baseball games?
No, and I actually think that this is the best argument for not going down from 48, because I disagree with Maggie that I think people, this would affect conversations. It would affect history. So no, I would not want a 7-inning baseball game. I ended up not hating 7-inning doubleheaders as much as I thought I was going to, but a regular game can't be 7 innings.
Well, aren't the rules already affecting? I mean, if we're really getting into it.
Well, I mean,
every rule affects the era that came before
well,
it.
Of course,
whether it's getting
rid of
hand checking, whether it's getting a hell of adding a 3-point line,
yeah.
If you want to go way back. Having the fact that now you have a 3-batter rule in baseball, and the bigger stolen bases, Robert Acuna is stealing 73 bases in a season. Like the record books to me is the least of the reasons to not make a change.
But we did this last year with Ohtani, trying to understand the value of 50 stolen bases
right.
with his 50 home runs because of all of those changes. So like these conversations will happen, and 8 less minutes. I don't know how many less minutes. Main guys would play in a 40-minute game.
Like, I think they'd play more minutes.
Well, I'm looking right now. Tyrese Maxey averages 38 minutes a game. That leads the NBA. He wouldn't still play 38 of 40, but like, would he play 36 instead of like? I don't know exactly how much time guys are losing on the floor, but it would have to just. I can't imagine it wouldn't affect averages. It wouldn't like. There's just less time to get stats, and that to me is significant.
Or more time for the starters, or the starters play more games.
I think we also disagree. Some of us disagree. Like, does basketball need a radical change? Are they in danger of becoming baseball, where they're irrelevant? I mean, there's a lot of reporting on ratings being down, but then some people argue, well, maybe the way the ratings game has changed, people consume it differently.
That's their big argument, right?
What's that?
That's their big argument, right?
Yeah, but I think the buzz is definitely down. I mean, I think it's load management is the biggest reason to me. Like, the season feels too long, but. That is a legit question. I think that's why that conversation with Dan and Adam Silver felt so relevant is because, like, wow, NBA doesn't feel like it's popping right now.
But again, going back to just one quick point, I want to be clear. I think people do complain about the games being too long. But again, I think that there's too many replays. The commercials are there are a lot of things that go beyond just actual basketball game. I don't think people are saying the time in the actual games are long. But I just feel like, I don't know. I just feel like this is a conversation about something that is not an issue. Like, we want guys to play more in terms of like being available. We want the sport to be a lot more physical, a lot less everyone just playing the same brand of basketball. I don't know how taking 2 minutes off of a quarter does any of that. Like, to me, the reason why I'm upset about it is because I just feel like if this is where Adam Silver's head is. Like, what are you actually doing to fix the sport? Like, I agree with Perloff. Like, there are things that need to be changed. This seems silly. I know it was a silly idea.
What comes across your desk. I mean, to say he's not fit to be commissioner, 855-212-4227. I think taking it a bit far. We have so much left to do. We've got more Super Bowl for you, including a big question about the Chiefs. Winning close games, a sign of weakness or a sign of strength? 855-212-4.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Start your new career with H&K Group Incorporated. H&K Group wants to offer you the opportunity to be part of the industry leader. 80 locations across Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware. Visit hkgroup.com and apply today. H&K Group does not discriminate. Experience more with H&K.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
4227. Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Couple of questions out there for you regarding the Super Bowl. One, are you excited to watch this Super Bowl rematch? Early returns are people would rather be huffing laughing gas than be watching the Eagles and the Chiefs again.
Yeah. Do people still get hammered at Super Bowl parties? I feel like that's like a bygone era thing.
I think it probably depends on the person in the party.
Yeah. I remember back in the day, Super Bowl parties seemed like they were a little wilder now. But
maybe
no.
That was just where you were in your life.
Yeah, it could be. I don't know. Like, you guys are young. Are you going to go to a Super Bowl party?
I will never go to a Super Bowl party. I hate them.
I work the next day, so no.
Yeah, like we're all working. This is why I think the NFL wants to try to get the Super Bowl on President's Weekend so that the country has, like, a lot of people have that Monday off. We don't around here, but a lot of people do. So
a Super Bowl party where you get nachos and a bunch of six packs, that's still a thing?
I think so.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, so you get invited to some, Andy.
Oh, yeah. No, I've been invited to some, but I mean, mostly I am working during the Super Bowl and or right after the Super Bowl. So what a great career decision I made.
Well, a lot of people would kill for it. I think it's hard in a Super Bowl party because we actually have to really watch the game.
Yeah.
And Super Bowl party brings in a lot of people who are there for the commercials or...
Taylor,
a lot of side conversations.
Everybody
going on.
Shut up. I need to listen to KB and Tom Brady.
Yeah, right. I mean, we're analyzing now Tom Brady and how the call is. Like, we gotta really pay attention to this.
I know. Do we have to analyze Tom Brady? I know it's going to be like one of the big subplots of the game.
Yes, I have a major bet riding but on this.
Is there any chance that we're not going to be critical of Tom Brady? Tom Brady keeps setting himself up for these awful assignments. I keep saying that. It's like, I'm going to call the Super Bowl and have everyone scrutinize me. Then I'm going to try and turn the Raiders into a winner. What's next? Like, are you going to cure cancer, Tom? Like, can you just do something that's achievable, please?
I mean, dude wants a challenge.
Apparently so.
You know, I mean, think about it. He's already rich beyond belief. He can get any woman he wants. Like, what are the mountains left to climb and conquer? You got to take over the Raiders.
Yeah. I don't
just
know. It's
just
like,
alive.
Could you take a team in an easier division, Tom? That's all I'm saying.
I don't think the Chiefs need a new architect.
There's got to be someone in the AFC South or the NFC South who could need some help from Tom Brady. Like, you had to go in the AFC West?
Maximum. Sorry. I think, and athletes are so delusional. I think Tom believes, I bet he probably believes he's good at anything if he just works hard enough at it.
Definitely.
Why wouldn't he think that? Let's go to Sean, who's in Oregon. Hey, Sean, what's up?
Hey, I just wanted to touch on a couple of things you guys were talking about. Well, one, you guys were talking about, you know, where those close games make you stronger or shows weakness. It doesn't make you stronger. It makes you mentally stronger. It makes you better prepared for those close situations. And it helps you build confidence, which is half the game. So those guys are ready for any kind of close fight. And that's scary. I didn't like this team. I call them the Miracle Chiefs game team. That, you know, several games this year, they have no business winning a few of those games. And somehow they pulled them out. So I'm going with the Eagles. I like defense. I'm a defensive-minded person. And so I like the running game. You know, there's more running plays in the NFL this year since 2009. And the running game came back. And so we're glad to see that. And then I wanted to touch on the basketball you guys were talking about. You know, the NBA is an all-time low right now. I mean, I watch games all the time, and I'm watching attendance. Attendance is way down. Some of these arenas are only half full or less even sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's terrible to see. And what it is, it's the quality of the basketball. You know, defense has taken a back seat in the NBA. You can see it in the All-Star game, and it's just – you can see it in the games.
Yeah, but Sean, I think that might be by design. I think they wanted, first of all, there was a revolution that happened with Steph Curry and the three-point shot, but which is, you know, more transition baskets. You're not playing a lot of that, you know, grind it out, slow down possession basketball, which we, I think we watched a lot of in the 90s and stuff like that. And I think they wanted more scoring, right?
Well, I don't watch that kind of basketball.
Yeah.
I watch basketball to see freak athleticism. I like block shots. I like slam dunks. I like transition ball. I don't watch women's basketball. I only have so much time. So I'm not going to sit there and watch guys.
It's good product,
Sean. I'm not watching people play horse.
But here's the thing about the attendance. Sean, you bring up a good point. We'll have to double check. I wasn't sure that NBA attendance had been down. But I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know if the league actually cares about that. And here's why. The owners do, because they are responsible. You know, they get the gate and they have the parking and all that stuff. But sports are a TV product now more than anything. Look at what just happened with the NBA. Their rights, their TV rights were up. Yeah. Their broadcast rights were up. And people were wondering, like, wow, the NBA feels like it's kind of down right now. Are they going to be able to surpass? It was three times what they were making before. They sold a chunk to NBC, a chunk to Amazon. ESPN still has their package. TNT has for another year at least the package. They made so much more money off of this current deal than they had in the last deal. So on an air quotes down product, they tripled the revenue from TV.
Also, last season, NBA set all-time records in total attendance, average attendance, percentage capacity, and sellouts.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I had not heard what Sean heard, that attendance was down. Maybe he's thinking anecdotally.
People might not show up.
Yeah, he's watching Trailblazers games, maybe the Pelicans too.
Yeah, but I also get the sense of there are some nerves about in the NBA front office about, you know, they just did these big deals and ratings are going down. I think it's cord cutting is obviously a big part of this.
Sure.
I don't get the sense that NBA is loving the TV ratings.
They just cashed in. Why? Yeah. Who cares?
I don't know.
They already got the money. It's guaranteed.
Because you know how business relationship is. Like they don't want to get this all this money from Amazon. Then Amazon's like, hey, look what NFL did, and why are you a dud? That's not what Adam Silver wants to hear. I would imagine. Like it does, just because you did the deal doesn't mean that you're not hungry to keep the product, like, you know, popular and high quality. And like they don't want ratings to dip, even though the deal is done.
Yeah, no, they don't want the ratings to dip. But again, contracts are signed, man.
But look at baseball, man. They've been making so much money, and the product's been going downhill, and they panic.
We have a question for you about the Super Bowl. The question is, who is the best player not named Patrick Mahomes playing in this game?